91X News.
It's 14 degrees and mainly sunny at noon. From the QNET Newsroom, good afternoon. I'm Courtney Bell. Officials, dignitaries, and civilians gathered at the National War Memorial in Ottawa this morning to pay tribute to two fallen servicemen. The ceremony honored Corporal Nathan Cirillo and Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent, who died a year ago at the hands of attackers. Here is the sound of Canada's Chaplain General reading an opening prayer, followed by a flypast by CF-18 fighters in a so-called missing man formation.
Loving God, as we mark this occasion of such deep sadness,
the Provincial Ministry of Environment wants to know how Belleville plans to clean up coal tar around the city's harbor. The contamination can be found underground and in groundwater near St. Paul Street, says Ministry of Environment spokesperson Kate Jordan. This is where the former Belleville gas plant once sat. In August, the Ministry of Environment submitted an order to the city and several past of current owners to clean up the site. Jordan says now the city must draw up a plan to clean up the coal tar.
That order requires a number of things, but mainly it's focused on requiring the parties to come together and submit an action plan to the ministry that would remediate the contamination. So that order was issued at the end of August, and kind of the key date associated with that would be early November, so that's when that action plan is due to us.
The city has chosen to appeal the order to the Environmental Review Tribunal. The order by the Ministry of the Environment doesn't say how much the cleanup will cost. Jordan says it's up to the city to figure out how much it will cost.
Yeah, there's no dollar figure or monetary amount set out in the order. The order just requires the work to be done. So in terms of the costs associated with that, that would be up to the municipality and the other parties to determine.
The coal tar is deep underground and isn't an immediate health risk to residents, says Jordan. Tayendinega Township Public Library has plans in hosting a heritage event in hopes of creating a new historic society for the local area. The event will be a follow-up from a similar event last May, and hopes remain high for the plans in creating a new historic society to help bring to light the local history of the region. Hastings Historical Society member Jim Kenley, who will be hosting the heritage event, says they will be focusing on key highlights of the township's history.
Potash industry, the cheese factories, the development of the road system, just various issues that impact on the community.
The event will be held in the atrium of the library at 7 p.m. Just days after the stunning defeat at the polls, the federal conservatives have started taking steps towards a leadership race. The party is setting up a committee that will set the rules up for the upcoming contest. The Canadian Press has learned three senior party executives have been named to the committee and will be joined by Tories from within and beyond the National Council. Party President John Walsh and two others will have the job of selecting the remaining members, taking into account regional, gender, and minority representation. The Tories have not elected a leader since 2003, when the newly formed Conservative Party of Canada picked Harper to take its helm. Committee members will have to pledge, and they will remain neutral during the race and not publicly back candidates. Potential leadership hopefuls include Tony Clement, Kelly Leach, Lisa Raitt, and Maxime Bernier. The trial of a Toronto police officer charged in the shooting death of a teen on an empty streetcar is hearing audio recordings of what went on that night. The jury at Constable James Fursilo's trial watched silent videos of the incident on Wednesday, but today, for the first time, they hear parts of the confrontation between the officer and the 18-year-old Sammy Yatim. Fursilo has pleaded not guilty to second-degree murder and attempted murder in the July 2013 shooting. In one audio recording, Fursilo can be heard repeatedly screaming, "Drop the knife," while Yatim can be heard swearing at police. The jury has also watched two cell phone videos today, which were taken by civilians at the scene, in which the 9 gunshots fired by Fursilo can clearly be heard. The jury has heard that the standoff between Fursilo and Yatim lasted about 50 seconds before the police officer let off two volleys of shots, eight of his bullets hit Yatim. Education Minister Liz Sandals is defending a $1 million payout to the union representing Ontario's high school teachers. Negotiations with the Ontario's Secondary School Teacher Federation dragged on under the province's new bargaining system, a situation Sandals says won't be repeated during the next round of talks. Sandals says the additional money was needed to cover extra costs the union incurred.
I don't think of it as compensation per se. I think of it as investing in transforming a system that didn't work.
Progressive Conservative leader Patrick Brown says the government is taking money from students to pay for their own mistakes with its new bargaining system. The New Democrats are blaming Liberal negligence and mismanagement for the ballooning costs of the system that administrators welfare and disability payments to 900,000 Ontario residents. The cost of the social assistance management system has soared to $294 million. Social Assistant Minister Helena Yatsek says another $23 million was added to the cost to pay for more training for frontline staff who work with recipients. The original tab for the problem computer system developed by IBM was $242 million, but it kept growing as the problems arose with checks sent to clients. Police in London, Ontario say a six-year-old is in a hospital after sustaining a stab wound earlier today. Police say they were summoned to a local address around 9 a.m. and found the child suffering from what they described as a serious abdominal stab wound. Police did not release the name or gender of the child and are still waiting for word on a prognosis. A woman who police say was known to the child was taken into custody, but there is no word as to whether charges have been laid. Police say they are not seeking any more suspects. Anyone with information on the situation is encouraged to come forward as police continue their investigation. That's QNET News on 91X to 1209. Sports is next.
No need to watch award shows this year to get your fix of stars. Just visit Mark's No Frills, where the all-new Guiding Stars program makes eating healthier a breeze. No more frustration due to small print nutritional facts to find out what's good and what's not. Simply look for the stars on the package. For more information on the Guiding Stars program, visit guidingstars.ca. Be sure to ask about PC points as well. Mark's No Frills, 211 Bell Boulevard, Belleville. And remember, as Mark's No Frills, our prices won't be beat.
QNET Sports. The Toronto Blue Jays faced the Kansas City Royals last night and won 7-1. Students at Loyalist College were cautiously optimistic yesterday prior to the game.
I really feel that the Jays have to get their bats going and really step it up if they really want a chance to win this do or die situation.
Kansas City does have a better ball club, but the Jays have really stepped up their game.
I'm hoping and thinking that Estrada is going to have a good outing. The Jays bats are going to get going finally, and they're going to put on a good show at home and hopefully win game six, and then it's all tied from there. So I think I'm not giving up on them yet.
The Jays face the Royals again this Friday at 8 p.m., and if they win, they will tie up the series. For the first time since 2000, the Mets are in the World Series, beating the Cubs in four games straight to win the National League Championship Series. Cubs left fielder Kyle Schwarber says the playoff experience will help the Cubs in the future.
Now we know what to look forward to as we, go into this offseason. It wouldn't have been fun if we made it to the World Series the first year, and, then we're disappointed after that. No, but, it obviously upsetting, but, a lot of look forward to.
The Picton Pirates face off with the Gananoque Islanders tonight at 7:30 at Prince Edward Community Center. Claude Giroux's second goal of the game came in overtime, and it helped lift the Philadelphia Flyers to a 5-4 win over the Boston Bruins. Bruins center Chris Kelly says although they're winless in four home games this season, they'll start playing better in Boston.
Obviously, that's we got to work on and get back going. We'll have success at home. I'm confident in this team and confident in our fans, and we'll make this a difficult place to play.
With just one day to go, two teams are getting ready to play for the first in the division. Junior football teams from Centennial Secondary School and St. Teresa Secondary are both sitting at five wins and one loss on the season. The game Friday afternoon will decide who brings home the division title. Centennial has bounced back after last year's losing season. Middle linebacker Connor Cruikshank attributes the strong start to off-season additions.
Last year, well, we've got like more receivers this year, and our defense has really stepped it up.
Games tomorrow are being played at 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock at Marianne Sills Park. Send us your team or league scores at our email, qnetnewsdesk@gmail.com. The forecast for Belleville today, a mix of sun and cloud, high 17 with temperature falling to 12 this afternoon. Tonight, a few clouds, a low plus 1, and tomorrow sunny, high 10, cloudy periods with a low of minus 1. At 12, it's 15 degrees. QNET News on the air on 91X and online at qnetnews.ca. Remember to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. I'm Courtney Bell, News on 91X, next at 1.